Blog Talk Radio.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm grateful unto him this morning. We thank God for another week ending. And we're grateful unto him for this Friday morning that we've never seen before. Today is a new day. And if we want some different results in this new day, we must do something new. Hallelujah. Pray a new prayer. Go to God in a new way. Telling him thank you. Hallelujah. Telling him you love him this morning. There's none like him. Oh, yeah. And so we just happy today in Jesus. Oh, yeah. He's a way maker. Heart fixer. Way maker. He is the way. Hallelujah. I'm excited right there. Amen goes right there this morning. Yes, yes, yes. He brought us safely up until this present time. And I look back over this week. It had been a very long time when I went all 5 days. Yeah. And I said, look at this. I haven't done this in a long time. Because when Wednesday comes, you know, with all the phone calls, this, that, and the other, when Wednesday get here, boy, I am so tired. But I keep it going. You know what I'm saying? But this time I went all the way through up until today. And I'm grateful, grateful, grateful. Appreciate him. Thank him, love him, can't do without him. Unto God, hallelujah, almighty God, that have all the power. There's no higher power than his power. Hallelujah. So today is Testify Friday. It's the first Friday in September. And we want to testify to the goodness of the Lord, talk of his wondrous works, and make known his deeds among the people. How about he's got good deeds, huh? Anybody can think back on what he's done for you. I can think right quick. He woke me up this morning. Clothes in my right mind. Use and activities of my limb. I have life, health, and strength. Oh, yeah. And I'm pressing on in him. This upward way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this morning we're going to hear several testimonies and some other things from Greg Reed. And Greg came from the Ouija board to Christianity, and how Jesus saved Greg from the occult. And he's going to share how all of this got started, how he got started in the nonsense, and the things he went through, and then how he came on over to the Lord. And now today, you know, he can share with children, you know, the youth, and other people. God always got somebody he can use. Yeah, he's always finding someone he can use. And he'll use you in whatever you allow him to use you in. Yeah, in my ministry, because I had gone to prison and this, that, and, you know, the state came in and took children and all of this. So I decided I can't always go into the prison system. You know, because there are days when I'm busy and I got to get this phone stuff. So, you know, I'm not able to physically go. But I started a prison pen pal ministry. And many people think, even the inmates, they think like, oh, well, if this a pen pal, I'm going to meet a woman. The women think, oh, well, I'm going to meet a man. Both of y'all going to meet a man. The men, hallelujah, and the women, both of y'all going to meet a man. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're going to learn about Almighty God. Yeah, the one that created the heavens and the earth. And so, you know, I have him sometime tell me, well, I would like to meet a Christian lady. And I have to break it down to him. Now, this is not that type of pen pal ministry. I come to share the good news of Jesus. If you're interested, we can continue. If this is not what you're looking for, then we can do something different. Which is, I'll pray for you, put you on the prayer list, and you keep seeking for what you're seeking for. But I share many days, if you got a woman out here, what could you really do for her? You locked up. You can't keep her safe. You can't help her, you know, manage the home. It's nothing really you can do but write her and ask her for what she can give to you, because you locked up. And why would you want to take a woman through this? But many of them marry her. Women marry men in prison. Men marry women in prison. I'm like, something is definitely wrong with this picture. But I found out many decide that I want Jesus. Many tell me, I left him this I got in here. I was raised in the church, but I left him. Now I ended up here. And it's sad because I don't know how to get back to him. Can you help me? Yes, I can. The privilege is all mine. And we go to work. Yeah, we go to the scriptures. Uh-huh. We go by faith. We pray. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I have gotten some excellent results from people that's locked up and had a few to go home. You know, I'm working with one now. He have 30 years, but it won't be many days from now before he leaves. Yeah, I believe this is year. And when I first started, you know, ministering to him, I told him that. I said, look, you're not going to be that long. I doubt if you're there another 10 years. You know, God going to release you because you're ready. And the day that you're completely ready, that's when he's going to turn your key. So because I had, you know, been in, I decided to reach back and help them. And God used me. I lost children. Well, I didn't lose them, but the state come in and took them. So I decided to work with women whose children has been taken. And not just the kind that's been taken and you go to parenting classes and you do this, you get a place to live, you secure this, you got your drug test every week and it's clear and it's clean. Not just them kind. That's the easy kind. I'm talking about the ones who will never get the children back. They don't know what state. They don't know nothing else about their children. They were permanently placed into the system, adopted out some of them. And so I dealt with this one woman, and she was all the way out. Her kids had basically what we call expirated out into the system, and she would never get them back again. Her oldest daughter turned 18. Went to college, graduated, and when she was around, I think, 24, 25, she was able to go back in and get her sisters. And because the mother had another baby, so it was like about four of them. But this girl got a job, got a house, went and got her sisters and her mother, and brought the mother in while she worked. The mother see about the girls. The mother got off drugs. Yeah, got off drugs. And she say she watched over her daughters like a hawk watch a chicken. And she trained them from the Bible. Because, see, God had to put her in a position. Without him, she wouldn't have made it there. She never would have saw those children again. And so you got some, they wake up in the mornings and, you know, the enemy began to speak to them. You ain't no good. You might be off the dope and everything, but look what you did. You lost your children because of a man. You got all kind of stuff, you know. And so you because of what you've gone through, you want to reach back and pull somebody else up out of there, and you want to help somebody else. But it all starts with love. Hallelujah. In loving kindness, have I drawn thee. So see, he drew me in love and kindness. And this is what I try to do. I try to reach back and draw unto him in love and kindness. And I let him have his way. You know, and sometimes they'd be like, well, I need you to tell me. I can't tell you that. You got to go to God for that. Yeah, I can't give you no advice on that. As a matter of fact, I can't even speak on that. It's a personal matter, spiritual matter between you and him. I can't lead you like that. If I can lead you to him, and you got to stay with him, and you got to consult him, and you got to seek him, yeah, for your own soul salvation, huh? And it's all right today in Jesus' name. I think many days I'm like, Lord, when I get older, Lord, will I still be able to reach out and bless somebody? Hallelujah. Yeah. Yep, I saw that too. A lady just lost her parental rights for refusing the COVID vaccine. Yeah, I seen that. I seen one was at a school, I think, and the school told her, well, you can't get the child back until you go take the vaccine. Now, I'm like, what in the world? Yeah, because they pushing that vax. I've never seen nothing like it in my life. Yeah, and it's like this. You can take it. If something happened to you, you can't get no recovery of nothing because you can't take them to court. You just messed up. And people are actually pushing this and angry with other people for not taking something that might mess you up and there's no recovery for it. One man said it's the pharmaceutical companies, which we know, and he said if your vaccine, your product is so good, why don't you stand behind it? If you know it's going to work, why not stand behind what you're offering people? And if anything happens, pay for it. So a lot of boys come out and children come out with autism because they took that COVID shot. And back in the day, it was happening. So you have a lot of autistic children because of the shot that was taken. Remember, you got to get vaccinated to go to school. Yeah, a lot of that messed up children. I'm like, my goodness, I saw a young lady, I know her parents, and she was born a healthy baby. And they started her on shots, and then they didn't go back and complete the shots the day she got autism. I was like, what in the world? See, I never did go for all of that in my day. I can remember my dad taking me to get it. And they put this red stuff on a sugar cube and gave it to me. And I pretended to put it in my mouth, but I never let it leave my hand. And when we walked so far, I took it and threw it across the fence. And my dad said, what is that? I said, what they gave me. He said, what? I said, Dad, I can't take that. I cannot take that. I don't know what that is. Remember back in the day, they would give you a vaccination on your shoulder. Were down your arm, up close to your shoulder, and it would leave a print and a mark on your arm. I never took that. I remember looking, my sister had it, but I never got it. Yeah, and I think I was a little girl, and I prayed not to get it, because I just never liked to be marked up and branded and oof, flu shots and pneumonia shots. No, let the body have its natural course. I don't want to stop my body from aging. Something going to happen in the process that shouldn't happen. We was designed for certain things, and we need to let these certain things. I am not dyeing my hair. Why would I dye my hair? It's a natural process. As you age, your hair turns color. It turns from black to white. Your eyebrows may change color. You got some white in them, your lashes. Your hands start to wrinkle. You've been here a while. You losing the elastic in your skin. You're not going to stay the same. If you buy a car in 2001, it's 2021. You done had some problems with that car, and that car is older. You can't stop the process. Time moves on. Each year is different. It's another year. 12 long months, 365 days a year. But folk want to change the process. I don't understand. They want to shoot stuff in their jaws and look like they got them Harry Teeter apples in it. You ought to see a Harry Teeter apple. That's the biggest apple you, ooh, and sweet and soft and good. But they look like they got Harry Teeter apples in their jaws and their lips all puckered up. I'm like, what in the world? And they trying to look older, but their face look puffy. They done let them come and cut and put all kind of stuff in their top part of their body and the rear part and the down. I can't do it. It's a natural process to age. And I just want to age gracefully. My gray hair teach others. I've been here a minute. And I should have some wisdom. But not everybody have wisdom with the gray hair. And you're going to see burn marks on my arm because I cook. I didn't run out the restaurant every chance I got. Even though it's just me. I don't have a family basically to feed other than homeless people or hungry people. But I yet cook. So you're going to see marks on my hand. You're going to see my hand aging. Because the elastic is gone, because I've been here for a minute. I've been here 64 years. Now, I know many African Americans heard black don't crack, and it don't. It don't crack as bad. It don't crack as fast. But as you get older, you're going to see signs of age. Some of us have age spots. And we go get stuff and try to rub out the age spots. What are you doing? It's a natural process for your natural body. And then you're wondering why you're sick and why this. Hey, you're not letting that body do what it's supposed to do. It's just preparing to go back to the dirt, if I'm honest. It came from the dirt. It's going back there. Keep living. You're going to close your eyes for the last time. Yeah. They do get scared looking after that plastic surgery. Yeah. I'm talking about, oh, my goodness. I'm like, wow. And Dolly Parton is so tiny, last time I saw her, and a face puff. I said, Lord, is Dolly going over there getting the stuff, trying to keep the wrinkles out of face? Because you can do anything you want, the rest of that body is going to show wrinkles. You can put anything you want in the bottom part, in the rear, in the top part, you know, you can do all of that. But you won't see that body is aging. You can run marathons, you can exercise, you can eat just all the healthy stuff that you want. That body is returning, preparing daily to return back to the dirt. The day you was born, that body started preparing to return back to the dirt. Yeah, we came from the dirt, we going back to it. Yeah, and so I just thank God today for wisdom. And I thank him for his knowledge, and I thank him that I've been set free. Yeah, and I'm good. Oh, okay. You know, y'all got to help Louis. She's had her face lifted so many times that her toes curl up. Louis bad. Yeah, I see a lot of them with that. The little girl, little Kim, she was such a beautiful young lady to me. Beautiful. And I saw her, and she looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I'm like, my goodness, what happened? Face all on swole, lips all puffed up. Who like all of that? Who want a real man, he don't want to look at nothing like that. I'm telling you the truth. He's like, wow, yeah, girl, go on somewhere. Get yourself together. Because I'm telling you, you done mess yourself up and think that I like it. No, I want a real natural woman. I don't. That's scary to me. I don't want to wake up to that right there. But they think they're doing something, and, you know, and men love it. And some of them go along with it, you know, but hey, in their mind deep in there now, they got some problems too. So, yeah, I want to let the natural process of aging have its way in me, and I'm going to be all right, yeah, because I'm an older woman, and no need for me looking for a younger man, yeah, and no need to look me looking for a man at all. If God don't send him, what I'm supposed to do? Live a good life in Jesus, live a good life in the Word, spread the good news, cook a good meal, bake a good sweet potato pie, Henley, yeah, and roll on, make a good cake, and roll on in Jesus' name. Help somebody. Give somebody a ride or something. Yeah, and we all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, I got to go to this one request this morning. And when we come back, we are coming back still talking about the testify Friday, and we're going to listen to Greg Reed and see how he got rid of this Ouija board and became a Christian.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff out here. In this new age, they get caught up into a lot of stuff. Some of them was raised in the church, but they mix in Christianity with other things. It is, I'm telling you, and I pray for those who tattoos is not enough. They can't get enough tattoos. They can't get enough piercings because we found out what was wrong. They got some issues, you know, and God is the only one who can fix you. You can play with Ouija, you can devil worship, you can do anything you want to do, but only the one who made you can straighten you out. He's the only one can heal you. You can take therapy, you can go to the psychiatrist, you can do counseling, you can do anything you want. But God is the one that healeth thee. Yeah. Folk take pills, folk get drunk, folk do drugs, all kind of stuff. Only God can heal you. Because after you get through drinking, you're going to need another drink and another drink and another drink. Yeah. I had a friend, her name was Bernice Davis. I'll never forget her. We attended the Church of Christ. That's the church without the music. And I was young during these days. Might have been 19 or 20, somewhere around in that. And I was over there fooling around at the Church of Christ. And I just loved Bernice. She was such a sweet lady. And she was older than me. And she said her daughter was at Bethune-Cookman. And the daughter asked the Ouija, she saw him with the Ouija board, and she asked him, let me ask Ouija a question. And she said when she asked Ouija that question, Ouija answered that thing honestly, told her the truth. Burns said she told her, look here, don't fool with that no more. Don't you ever fool with that. Yeah. Because, see, the thing with the devil and satanic stuff, they hoping that you don't believe that there is a God. And know what they hoping most? That you don't believe the devil have the power that he has. That's what he banking on, you not believing that he real. Because if you don't believe he real, you think it's you. And you think, oh, well, I'm just, no, he doesn't come in there. That evil spirit has come. And with your flesh, it'll help you to get in a place you never want to be. Yeah. My goddaughter back, godsister back in the day, we used to call each other godsisters. Our mothers was good friends. And she shot herself in the stomach over a man. I was like, my goodness, what is going on? She let the devil talk to her. And he told her, kill yourself and get on up out of here. And that's what she tried to do. Yeah. But we got to lean and depend on Jesus this morning. He's the author, excuse me, that fan, and finisher of my faith. Of our faith. And without him, we can do nothing. And no matter what come up, how it come up, we need to run to him. We need to call on him. The songwriter said, call on Jesus, he will answer prayer. If you call on Jesus, he will answer prayer. And that's what we have to do. We have to call on him. And I call on him until he come. You hear me? Oh, yeah. Went over to take the MRI, and they had me in that machine. He said 25 minutes. I felt like I had been in there an hour. And I'm telling you the truth, I started calling on the Lord, Jesus. I said, Lord, get me out of here. Let him come and get me out of this machine. And after I was calling out to him, I pressed the button. He said, you pressed it just in time. I'm coming to get you right now. I said, Lord, I thank you. I called on him right then and there because I was tired of laying on my back like that. My back was hurting. My knee couldn't move it. Oh, no, it's going to hurt when I get up. So I called on the name of the Lord, and he sent him right in there to get me right up out of there. Yeah, he's that kind of God. Now, some things you're going to go through, Because some things we do to ourselves, and we won't stop doing it. Like that weight with me. I just wouldn't stop eating. What was wrong? What was causing me to have the weight on me? I just wouldn't leave these fried chicken wings alone, you know? I wouldn't leave the pound cake alone and different things, and it kept the weight. So I got to get the weight off. Get the weight off, the knee get better. Because I injured this knee in 2002. Twisted the kneecap on it. Got the steroid shot, the cortisone or whatever it was. The knee hadn't hurt for like 16 years, let's say. Now all that's wore out again. I got to go back and get me something. Yeah. But I did it this time to myself by overeating and gaining all the weight. Just got to get it off and it'll be all right. People lose weight every day. I lose 3 pounds a week. I'm good. Yeah. Yeah, I can hardly stand that MRI thing. It's something serious. I don't like it. Ooh, no. He gave me earplugs, Brother Lewis. That helped, but I wasn't wanting to be in the machine. You understand? Yeah. And we thank God he's a deliverer, and he will set us free. And I've been praying. I said, Lord, just heal the knee. Just heal the knee. We'll get the weight off. It's already done if you would get the weight off. Yeah, because it can only hold so much. Yeah, and I have Nikki laughing, telling her, I said, yeah, I got to stop all this, Nikki, because I don't want to get to my 600-pound life. I won't be able to do that. I'll be dead before I get there. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah, and I don't want to be a glutton with food. Yeah, and sometimes it's not that I'm eating a lot. It's what I'm eating. Oh, yeah. And so we thank God for a mind this morning. He's let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. He'll do it for us. If we really want it, God will do it. And so I'm thankful unto him again this morning. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And my life is what I say. So listen, let's go to this one request. And when we come back, we're coming back talking about Greg Reed and from Ouija board to Christianity today. And if you got a testimony, you don't have to wait. Press that number one. And as soon as I see your light come on in the studio, I'll bring you in and you share your testimony. Because I know God has been good to all of us. Yes, he has.
Hurry up, warrior. Praise the Lord, we are warrior. Wave your hand, we are warrior. Fight the battle, warrior. Jump around, we are warrior. Praise the Lord, we are warrior. Get up and fight. Get up and fight. Cause we are warrior.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
I'm a Christian warrior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I got to stay on my post. I just can't come down. That won't work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, now where did he go? Maybe he's up top or he might be on the bottom. All right, y'all, we're going to bring him in and let him share his testimony with us this morning from Ouija board to Christianity. Yeah. Oh, boy. I listened to him and I'm like, my goodness, my goodness. It's so important that parents pay attention and that they train up their children in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. If you separate from your husband, you separate from your wife, show your children love. Give your children some quality time and keep instilling in them God. Keep instilling in them the Bible is true. The word of God is true. Because if not, they get older and they're messed up in their little mind. And you see a lot of stuff going on out here today. The children wasn't shown real love. They numb. They done became adults. And they got children minds, but they numb. So a lot of them don't feel the pain when they kill somebody. Older people, elderly, sick people, babies, they don't feel no pain on that. They feel numb. Nobody ever showed them love. Because parents was too busy doing what they wanted to do. I had to repent. I said, because Lord, did I become an adult and then wanted to do what I wanted to do and then tried to use the excuse I did it to provide for my children. That's what I thought I was doing, but I was doing wrong. I was a sinner. There were other ways I could have provided for them. Yeah. And so, you know, they'll make excuses. Well, I was on drugs. If people told you, just say no. Now, somebody else raised your child who don't love them. Now, they don't feel love. They don't know what love is. And then when you come around, if they're not saved, they hate you. Yet they love you. Isn't that sad? The love and hate the parent at the same time. Yeah. It's sad, but we got to train them up. If you got grandchildren and you can talk to your grandchildren about God, do that. Do that. Keep telling them the Bible is real. If you ever get in trouble, run to God. If you ever get in trouble, call on the name of Jesus. And not just when you're getting locked up. I'm talking about when you're troubled in your mind, you don't know which way to go. You're confused. You don't know. Call on Jesus. Because he's not the author of confusion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants you to be straight with one mind. Yeah. He don't want you to be two or three people. Because if you two or three people or you two people, something is wrong. If you born one way and you become another way, your mind telling you you somebody else, something is not right. God is not a confusing God. He made us one way. So that we wouldn't be confused. He blessed man to have the knowledge to know the difference between the two, but it's us and what we want to do. Because we often thinking it's our thing. This is my body. I can tat it up. I can cut it up. I can fix it up, whatever. But that's not the case. One day we're going to get to see it. You were bought with a price. Even if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we got to show our children love. A lot of people try to buy their children. But that's not the way. You got to give them what they call tough love. It ain't really tough love. It's love. I thank God I couldn't afford to give my kids all that craziness. Because until this day, I still would have been taking care of somebody, paying somebody child support, taking care of somebody's children. I had Cobricia over here, my baby's baby over here with me because I wanted to. Not because I had to. Because I could have sent her home when I got ready. She just didn't want to go, and I didn't want her to go. One day she asked and said, Grandmama, you ever heard of ride or die? I said, ride or die? Yeah. What that mean? They say, I'm ride or die for my grandma. I say, don't worry about that, Cobricia. I said, we love each other. I'm your grandmama and you my granddaughter. Don't worry about all that. Yeah, she wanted to know what the ride or die was. Now, I'm not going to explain that to you. Don't worry about that. That ain't for you. Yeah, we love one another. We grandmama and granddaughter. That's what that means for you. Yeah. And run on in Jesus' name. So listen, let's go in and take a listen at Greg Reed and From Ouija Board to Christianity.
Hi, everyone. It's Doreen. In just a second, we'll bring on Melissa and our very special guest today, who you're going to want to watch because he's got quite the story and a lot to teach all of us. And we're so grateful that he's here. His name is Gregory Reed. You can actually go to his website to learn more. Gregory, G-R-E-G-O-R-Y, Reed, R-E-I-D.com. He's a prolific author. He's written such books as Trojan Church, War of the Ages, Nobody's Angel, and many, many more. He's also got this booklet from our friends Warren and Joy Smith, the authors of The Light That Was Dark. And The Butterfly Illusion is the name of his booklet. We'll hear about his work with occult research, with forensic work, and also with youth ministry. Aren't we excited to bring Greg on, Melissa?
Yeah, we are. We've been looking forward to this interview. I love hearing testimony videos out of the New Age, Greg, and I'm really looking forward to hear your story. So if you can start by telling us a little about who you are, what you do, and then go into your testimony and tell us how you got into the New Age and how you got out.
You bet. I'm glad to. I'm glad to be with y'all. I guess I'll just jump right in. Right now, I work with youth, and I do lecturing and writing, of course, and do a number of things concerning, I've been working 20 years regarding occult-related crimes and crimes against children, which was a very serious issue in the 80s and continues to be to this day. And I have real heart for the human trafficking issue, especially being from a border town. How I got into all this, I was born and raised in Southern California. My parents were just great people, but they came from a very shattered background. And I think part of what happened to me was a result of many generations of darkness that had infiltrated our bloodline and affected my grandparents and my parents. My grandmother practiced the occult in Pasadena, California for a number of years. So I was kind of born into it, so to speak, although my parents didn't overtly practice those things. Since the earliest age I could remember, I was doing what's called astral travel. Mm. Even as a child, I had no idea what was going on. And I would have things appear to me, and I appeared to have some sort of, I wouldn't call them gifts now, but I had some abilities that I didn't know what they were about. Unfortunately, I also fell into the hands of a group in Southern California that was very deeply into the dark side that used me for child pornography as well as ritual sacrificial goings on. There was a lot of...
I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was... I'm thankful to be alive because a lot of kids don't survive that. And, you know, one person in particular that I know did not. But by the time I reached about 11, I think, and of course it was a process of being drugged and being sent back to my parents. it was the 50s and 60s, everybody trusted each other. Haven't put all the pieces together, but I just know that there were thousands of pieces by the time all this happened.
Wow.
And I immediately went from being a fairly decent child who loved God and went to church to all of a sudden I became angry, highly sexualized, started to drink and smoke. And then I started to fall deep, deep into the occult. And I started out reading Jean Dixon, Edgar Cayce, because they seemed to be fairly harmless to me at the time. And I began to study every single book I could. I did the Gongdi Bok Choy fortune telling. The more I got, the more I wanted. And I was trying to cover up all of the pain. And it got to a point where something else was starting to take over my whole life. And so the more pain I felt and the more out of control I felt, the more I studied and the more I drank. And by the time I was 14, I was recruiting other kids into the occult. I was taking them out to do seances. It was out of control. And there was a desperation was growing. We lost our house in a fire when I was 13. And my parents, I was completely out of their control by then. All they could do is pray and hope that my brothers and I stayed alive.
Wow.
And at some point, it's a very long testimony. I'm going to make it as short as I can, but it was so amazing because by that time I had come to believe that I had a gift and that my purpose was to get other people involved. But I made sort of a commitment that I would never do anything evil because I knew I shouldn't. And then at one point I verbally cursed somebody and they ended up dying the next day.
Oh, wow.
And I was absolutely terrified because I realized I'd crossed the line that I never intended to cross. I never intended to do any of those things. And somewhere in my heart, I must have started to cry out to God. At that point, it was like, I don't know who's out there anymore. Because I was studying Paramahansa Yogananda. And I was really deeply involved in Hindu meditation and Buddhist thought and just anything. I was grasping at anything I could. And I kept getting bothered by these annoying Christians who would just randomly stop me in stores and give me Bibles. And I would get angry and say thanks and walk off. I used to hitchhike a lot. At one point, when I was hitchhiking, unfortunately, I was picked up by a predator and molested. And I literally, after that experience, nearly drank myself into oblivion. And when I woke up, I said, God, if you're there, please have somebody pick me up and just kill me. Because I must be evil for all this to happen to me. That was my thought process. And I know that there were those on the other side that's why they did what they did, so that I wouldn't end up back in their hands. At some point, I got picked up by another person hitchhiking, and he was a preacher. And he started to give me the whole Jesus spiel. And by that time, I didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God loves you. Jesus loves you. I said, yeah, I know. He says, no, son. He says, you don't understand. I live in Manhattan Beach. That's 45 miles away. God woke me up this morning and told me to drive to this very street corner, and there would be a young boy on the street corner. I was supposed to pick you up and tell you that Jesus loves you.
Oh, my goodness.
I had two reactions. One was, what if it's true? And the other was, it can't be.
Wow.
I'm evil. So a few weeks passed. I got picked up by a guy with a friend of mine who was an atheist. And this guy that picked us up was one of those really crazy Christians. He went to church like 3 or 4 times a week. He was an older guy. Most Christians that picked me up had Volkswagen. So I figured he was safe because he was driving a big LTD. Now, he was worse than any of them. He went on this whole thing about Jesus, and I knew my friend was an atheist, and I thought, this is not going to go well. And so the guy told us, he says, we're having a Bible study. We'd love to have you come. Here's our card. My friend took the card as we got out. We're actually trying to go see my friend's girlfriend. We went to her house. She wasn't home. My friend looked at me and said, let's go to this thing. It might be fun. Well, I was shocked. we went to the meeting, and it was just a house full of Christians, and they were singing all these songs that, not like songs I'd ever heard in church, and they were telling testimonies about how Jesus saved them and delivered them and healed them, healed their marriage. There were kids my age. There were older couples. I was scared to death because something else was working inside of me. But when the little guy that ran the Bible study, may God bless him forever, Dave Malkin, when he's just a landscaper that found Jesus and opened up his doors. And he said, if anyone wants to receive Jesus, this is how it happens. And he gave the whole deal. And I glanced up and I saw my friend, the atheist, raise his hand.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know what to think. On the way home, the guy that picked us up and my friend talked like they'd known each other their whole lives. I had two reactions. One, that I was really glad for my friend because he had had nothing but a horrible life.
Mm-hmm.
Abuse, you know, six fathers, stepfathers. I was glad for him. Mm-hmm. And the other part of me felt like the loneliest person alive because he crossed the river and I knew I couldn't go with him because I was evil. A few months later, the same guy picks me up in the Cadillac, takes me to dinner, keeps telling me Jesus loves me. I tell him, yeah, I know. I couldn't put this together. But right after that, one of the books that he gave us, he gave us a little Bible, and he gave us a book called The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. And I took that book with me on a trip with my parents. And while we were in different motel rooms, I read that book. And when I got to the part in the book where David chased down Nikki Cruz, the most dangerous gang leader in New York, and said, Jesus loves you, and Nikki Cruz beat him up and put him on the ground and said, what do you think about that preacher? And David said, Nikki, you can cut me up in 1,000 pieces, and every piece is going to scream out, Jesus loves you.
Wow.
When that happened, I took the book and I threw it at the wall. I was angry, and I said, why didn't anybody ever tell me this?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't anyone ever tell me that God could love the worst person or that God had this kind of power?
Yeah.
So I went home. We got home that night late. I lay down in my bed, and I said, Jesus, Buddha, Cookie Monster, I don't know if any of you are even real anymore.
Yeah.
But if there's anybody out there, please help me, because if you don't, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. As God is my living witness, I went from that prayer, eyes wide open, to being taken to an open plain out in the middle of nowhere, where I felt I was the only person in the universe. And I felt all of this pain just come out of me. And I just was wailing like a wounded lion, just wailing and wailing and wailing. And I looked up in the sky. And I saw Jesus on the clouds, and he was reaching out his hands to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I screamed at him, and I said, I can't reach you. You're too far away. Forgive me. I still get very emotional about this. Like,
we understand. We understand.
Yes. Yes. And at that moment, I was taken through the heavens. I can't have any other way of explaining it. I don't even know how or anything else. The last thing I remember being held in the arms of Jesus Christ and feeling loved for the first time in my life.
Praise the Lord.
And then I'm back in my bed and I'm wide awake. And I said, I know that you're real.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what to do. For the next 2 months, I just walk into the little wooded area near our house. And I said, look, I don't know how to talk to you. So I'm going to talk to you like you're my friend, Jesus, because I don't know any other way. And a month or so after that, I found myself back at that prayer meeting, although I promised myself I was not going to go back. I went back there with a friend July 20th, 1969, the nights the astronauts walked on the moon.
Hmm.
And it was the same sort of thing, except I could feel this enormous pressure inside. I was sitting right by the door so I could run when I needed to because I didn't want to be there. I went through the whole thing about Jesus and salvation. Brother Dave gave the thing about this is how you receive Jesus. It's the easiest thing in the world. It won't cost you anything but your life. It's about his free gift of salvation. And he said, he had everybody close their eyes. He said, anybody wants to pray to receive Jesus, raise your hand. And I wanted to raise my hand with everything in me, and I couldn't lift it. it was like there was an iron shackle, and it's like I could hear screaming inside saying, you are not going to do this. You will not do this. And the tears started to come down my face. I'm just saying, God, help me, help me. And a girl from across the room said, you know, I feel like there's somebody here that really wants to raise their hand, but they feel like their arm is shackled. If you raise your hand right now, God will give you the ability to raise it. And suddenly my hand went in the air.
Mm.
And I prayed to receive Jesus. And it was like a lightning bolt shot down through my body. And all of the darkness started to go. All the darkness started to leave me. All of the love of Jesus started to fill me. And by the time I was done, I was laughing. I was crying. All the way home, I was shouting at strangers on the street, Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And I went home that night and I said, Jesus, please let this be real, because I've been fooled by so much stuff that I practiced. I need to know this is real. And I woke up the next day and I opened the window. It was like I saw color for the first time in my life.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And so it took a while to get rid of the rest of the stuff, because I had still mentally hung on to all the stuff I learned. And it was hard. I actually literally ended up going to the Bible study the next week with a Ouija board.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Because I thought, well, we practically studied the Bible last week. Let's study the Ouija board this week.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people don't understand, is that when we convert from New Age, we're not instantly knowledgeable Christians. And that was the same thing with me. I really believed I was a Christian, and then I was using tarot cards. I didn't know until I studied the Bible. So I relate to your story, Greg.
That was part of, you know, the way that God dealt with me, because he knew how fragile I was and how shattered I had been, and also that I clung to these things because I needed to feel important. I needed to feel like I had something special. So I had gone out with a team of people to talk to people about Jesus on the streets. And I told this one, I'm going to forget, I told this one man, I said, Jesus loves you. He says, what, am I going to go to hell if I don't believe? I said, oh, no, there's no such thing as heaven and hell. And then I told this other lady, I said, Jesus loves you. And she says, well, I'm a Buddhist. And I said, well, that's cool. All paths lead to God. I was regurgitating everything I learned from Jean Dixon and Edgar Cayce and all my other teachers. And somebody kind of ratted me out to the Bible study leader. And at the time, I was so angry, because this guy, Dave, he's gone to be with the Lord since, but I bless God for him, because he sat down with me with the Bible and forced me to read 5 or 6 scriptures that were totally contrary to my New Age worldview. And I was so angry, I said, what is your point, Dave? And he looked me square in the face. He says, Greg, you either believe all this book or you believe none of it. And Jesus is either going to be Lord of all of your life or he's not Lord at all in your life. I was so angry at him that I left and I didn't come back for a while. And I literally, this is the second part of the testimony and it'll be fairly brief. I called my old occult friends and I said, I want to go do a seance. So I went back. I wanted to prove that I still had what I had. So we went out in the middle of nowhere in an October night and got a bonfire going. And I was going to call up, see if I could communicate with my aunt that had just passed away. And then one of my friends out of nowhere said, we command Satan to manifest himself. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are you doing? And out of nowhere, it's like the ground opened up and this horrible sound came out of the ground, like growling. We were about a half mile away from the car, and I'm quite sure there were no footsteps between where we were and getting back in that car. And one of my friends that did this was crying and says, what are we going to do now? I said, why are you asking me? You're the one that did this. I don't know. And I dropped them off, and I prayed, and I said, God, I have to know the truth. And I did something I do not recommend to anybody. I want to make that clear. But I called these same friends a few days later. I said, I want to do the Ouija board again. And they said, we don't want anything to do with you ever. I said, I promise, just one more time. So we got together, did the Ouija board. I had a spirit guide that always talked to me as the same person. I never let anybody else touch the board because I could work it by myself. I let them, I mean, the planchette, I let them touch the board, but not the planchette. And I asked it, I said, who are you? And it spelled out my spirit guide's name. Again, I don't recommend this, but there's an old expression that God looks after little children and fools like me, and I think he was. He picked up a cross, and I put it on the top of the Ouija board. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to tell me who you really are. And for the first time in my entire life, it wouldn't work for me. And I said, in Jesus' name, I command you to tell me the truth. And it started to spell out S-A-T-A. I took my hands off the board. The thing flipped off the board on it and landed on its back. And it was like immediate deliverance. I said, I'm sorry, guys. It's over. I understand. The Ouija board went in the fire. I went home. I burned every single book, amulet, card, everything. It took me about 2 hours because I knew that I had been lied and deceived to. Deceived my entire life, and I felt both wounded and grateful. And as all that stuff was burned, all of a sudden this freedom came to me that I had never had before. And from that moment on, by God's grace, I never went back. It took years to repair the mental and emotional damage, but I'm just grateful to God to even be alive after all of that. So that's my story.
That's absolutely incredible. I think that your story reminds me of a mixture between mine and Doreen's in a way, because whenever you said you were excited and happy and just yelling out your window, Jesus loves you, and you woke up in your bed and, you know, it just felt like you felt like a joy. Yeah, that's exactly what I felt. But I fell into New Age, kind of like what you did. I didn't know my Bible. I didn't believe the Bible. I had a lot of these New Age beliefs that I kind of mixed together with my Christianity. And that ended up being, a long story to get out of that. But it's really interesting hearing your story. It's shocking. It's relatable. That's incredible. I'm so sorry, Greg, that you had to go through so much of that pain. Like, it gets to my heart.
The betrayal that you're discussing, I understand. I was raised in New Thought, and I had the Bible. I had a KJV Bible, but I didn't understand it, and I didn't read it, and so I was ignorant of God's will. And just from New Age went into psychology, and then, I mean, from New Thought went into psychology, and then New Age. And I didn't know anything was wrong with it. All I knew was Christians were mad at me, but I didn't know why. And so I can relate to when the veil's lifted and you really understand who Jesus is, it's just this sense of, like you said, betrayal. And for me, since it was 58 years old when I finally converted, it was feeling like I wasted my whole life. I worked so hard in the New Age. Like, I never took a day off. I didn't take vacations except for a couple of scuba dive trips. And I did all that. It's like I wasted my life. But I'm so grateful that God saved me before I went to hell for eternity. So I just hope and pray that anyone who's locked in the New Age or who's trying to blend New Age with Christianity, which are opposites, by the way, they can't blend, will really hear your testimony and will pray on it.
I think it's, as you know, an extraordinarily difficult transition to make. I would like to say that, because I know back at the time there were Christians who were saying, come to Jesus and your life's going to be fields and flowers. And I'm still looking for that person so I can, I don't know what I would say to him, probably very nice. But I think it was like just shortly after that all of my spirit guides turned on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're demons.
They are.
They're nice to you as long as you obey them.
Exactly. And once you turn the other way, it just, and I didn't know what to do. I had Christian friends who taught me what to do. And I actually, one of the crucial books I think I've written in my whole life was called War of the Ages, because it actually outlines the war from the time that Lucifer fell to the end of the age and how we as Christians can fight it, because most Christians don't even know there's a war. I had to learn boots on the ground, and I'm thankful I did. But, you know, once all of the things that I used, really the New Age was a painkiller for me because I saw horrible things as a child. I saw things I can probably never talk about. And so the New Age was a painkiller. It was a way of me anesthetizing all of the horrors. I have a dear family member that she turned to Wicca because she was so horribly abused. And I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why. But it's a poison that is the enemy has put there. It's like, I know you've had a terrible time. Here's something to make you feel better. And it's no different than any other drug.
That's
it
anesthetizes
right. the pain, but it's killing your spirit. It's killing your life.
Yeah, I was telling my husband last night that I also have that false belief that being a Christian would be rainbows and strawberries, and it's not. It's painful. It's a war. People get really mad at you, and as Jesus said, the world will hate you because they hated him first. Your best life is in your afterlife, where the New Age and any kind of prosperity gospel is about your best life now. So it is confusing, and so it really is why we have to keep our eyes on Jesus and not on this world.
And to, you know, the thing that I'm grateful about is that we serve a living God. We have a relationship with the living Savior. I found that every other person that I ever followed has died. Every great religious leader is dead. Jesus is the only one that you cannot find a grave because he rose from the dead. And I heard somebody a couple months ago, they said, I don't believe in God. And I spontaneously laughed. I didn't mean to. But for me, it's like, are you kidding? I met him. You know, these things are real.
Yes. Yeah, your Jesus experience sounded a lot like mine. Like you, Greg, I saw Jesus as clear as a person. He didn't talk, but I just knew when I saw him that he was real, that every Bible story about him was real, even though I hadn't read all the Bible stories. I knew that he had died for our sins, which was something I didn't believe before. I didn't even believe the crucifixion was real. And so just in that moment of seeing him, it transformed me into being a Bible believer. I didn't even need to go read about defending the Bible. It was just this knowing.
Real.
But I, like you, I was, there's a difference between a rebellious Christian and one who's called a weak Christian, where we just don't know until we read the Bible what it is God has mapped out for us as his will. So I relate so much to what you're saying.
I think one of the reasons that I wrote my testimony in Nobody's Angel was because I felt like after everything God had done for me, I was working with a lot of kids at the time who were involved in the occult, and some of them were involved in, you know, devil worship. And I thought, they have to have something to know that God is real, that Jesus is real, and that they can turn to him and he'll change their lives. I mean, he's as real to me now. So we had a long conversation this morning because I knew that this was coming. And I prayed for protection for all of us, and I prayed for, you know, God just to reach a lot of people. But it's a living relationship. When my feet hit the ground in the morning, it's Jesus in me, and I think that's what makes all the difference in the world. And no matter what the hard times, yeah, it is harder to be a Christian because, as an old friend once told me, dead fish float downstream. You know, when you're just going with the flow, there's no struggle. And frankly, the devil will give you whatever will keep you where you're at. But once you become that salmon that starts to swim upstream, you feel the struggle. You feel the resistance. You get the kickback.
I really like that analogy. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. The Bible says that God be for us, who can be against us. And I know it hurts. The first thing that happened when I got saved, the first day at school, Monday, the 21st of July, I went to school with my little Bible. And my best girlfriend from kindergarten looked at me, looked at the Bible, spit at me and said, get away from me, you Jesus freak. And it hurt so bad. But then I thought, well, this little book must be kind of powerful if that's the reaction. And so that's part of it. Jesus said, they hated me, they will hate you. And, you know, we're not martyrs about it. We just realize when you proclaim the truth, there'll be real resistance because the enemy is determined that people stay. in the darkness, and as my friend Johanna Michelson has said, the darkness that was light, pretending, the, you know, my friend Warren Smith wrote, the light that was dark.
Yes, and both those, Johanna Michelson and Warren Smith, have great books.
Greg, I'm actually really interested in your, because it's interesting, whenever we interview people, they have these incredibly unique testimonies, and we interviewed Will Barron a few days ago, and he has an incredible testimony that has a lot to do with channeling spirits and how his spirits turned on him after he started following Jesus. And a while ago, sometime last year, we interviewed my friend Christy, who had a similar experience where she was deep into new thought, new age, and she had an experience where Jesus came to her, you know, and at the time she thought it was just an ascended master. And I find it's interesting because a lot of new agers say that they talk to Jesus. A lot of new agers say that they, you know, have spirit guides that they feel are, you know, are experiences that they feel are unique and they feel emulate truth for them. If you were to tell a new ager the difference between your experience and theirs, what are some things that you would point out to somebody? Because we actually get asked this a lot.
Well, I think one thing is that Jesus said some things that were very clear that I had to come to terms with. And one was in his words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Which that was a moment of clarity for me that if I had to either believe Jesus was a liar or he was crazy or he's telling the truth. And if he's telling the truth and says he was the only way to the Father, I couldn't afford to get this wrong. And the other thing is the scriptures also say, try the spirits to see whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. A lot of my teachers, I don't have any question that they were sincere as
yeah.
the day is long, just like we were sincere, just like I was sincere. But they were deceived. That made them false in what they taught. I had this discussion with a friend of mine who had read my story, and I write a little bit about Edgar Cayce in there because it's part of my story. And it was the mother of one of the young people in a youth center I worked with. She says, I got to talk to you about the book. I said, what's up? And she says, what's wrong with Edgar Cayce? I said, he was not from God. And she said, but he healed people. I said,
exactly.
But he was an occultist.
Right.
And she yep. said, but he taught the scriptures. I said, but he practiced the occult, and the Bible forbids that. And I watched her whole face change. She turned white as a sheet, and she said, oh, dear Jesus. I said, what is going on? And she had the wife of an elder in her very evangelical church who had started a ladies' Bible study for special women, and she was teaching Edgar Cayce after about 6 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear. Yeah, this is the thing is, Melissa and I are doing all these videos to help people who maybe aren't in the new age like we were, but are Christians who are in a church that's being infiltrated by the new age and how to recognize it. And also, as you said, Greg, to your point where people say, but it's healing. And what I hear is when I tell people, do not use my cards anymore. You know, I've discovered that they are occult and it's forbidden by God. And they'll argue with me and say, but your cards comforted me. And so it's that addiction to comfort, when it's the Holy Spirit who God gave us as believers to be our comforter. So there's a lot of confusion.
There is. And it's a hard bridge to get over. It's a spiritual battle. And when you realize there's a real enemy that doesn't want people to come to the light of truth, and that people that are into that way of thinking like we were, it takes a supernatural act of God to break through with the truth. And, you know, so many things. Drugs are comforting
mm-hmm.
for the moment. Alcohol is comforting. Illicit sex is comforting. Pornography is comforting for people. I mean, I hate to put it in that light, but everything that God says, don't do this, it's not because he's Yoda up in heaven saying, I don't like people to have fun. He loves us, and he knows when we touch these things, we're giving over to darkness that will eventually cut us off from his loving presence. And so, and the most exciting thing for me is to find that through the power of the Holy Spirit, I have all that I ever needed and more that I sought after in the new age. To be able to pray for someone and watch God heal them, to be able to pray for a family and watch them be restored, to be able to have God speak to you a word that speaks into someone's life, that's all things that the Holy Spirit has given us in his word. And when you know that, you realize the rest of it, it's a counterfeit. It's the best the enemy can come up with. Is it comforting? Yes. Is it poison? Beyond question.
You mentioned something before about testing the spirit. And a lot of people don't know exactly what that means. And we're talking about, you know, the counterfeit versus the real thing. And one of the things both Doreen and I really emphasize is knowing the Bible. It's a tall order, but it's very, very, very necessary, because the more you know the Bible, the more you're going to be able to spot a counterfeit. And one of the things the Bible does say is in 1 John 4, I believe it is 4 or 5, it says to test the spirit. And if you can, maybe elaborate a little bit on what that means. We've talked about this many times before, Doreen and I, but in this particular interview, we mentioned it before. You mentioned it before. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that, if you were to tell our viewers what that means.
Yes, this is the story I told you about. The Ouija board was kind of a really bad version of testing the spirits. I mean, it did what it was supposed to.
God,
but
where we're at, right?
Right. But it's a matter of whatever that thing is trying to talk to us, to be able to face it down and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose again the third day. In the name of Jesus Christ, tell me the truth. Who are you? And almost 100% of the time, that thing is either going to show itself for what it really is, or it's going to disappear and never come back. And Paul said something I think is very crucial in this, because I have a lot of Christian friends that are very, very vulnerable to angelology. Mm. And I have to remind him of the scripture where Paul says, if I or an angel or any other person preach any other gospel than what I have preached, let them be cursed. That's a very strong word.
Yes.
But there are... Paul also said, don't be surprised that Satan comes as an angel of light and his servants as ministers of righteousness. So not all that glitters is gospel or gold. And if we want to stay safe, that's part of what we must do, is to test those things and say, if you're not from God, I'm going to find out and I want nothing to do with you. And that's how we stay strong and, you know, free from all of the delusion that's out there.
I also find the better that we do know our word, the more that we stay, you know, in studying to it and staying true to what it means, it's almost like your discernment light bulb comes on.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, I mean, the better we know scripture, it seems like immediately we can spot a counterfeit. And I always say, yeah, I know, I get it. It's a tall order, guys, to read your Bible every day and study it. But God wouldn't have given it to you if it weren't used for, you know, as a spiritual weapon. I mean, it's something that we do need to know. And that's a good point that you made about, you know, how you called out this spirit. You called him out in Jesus' name, and he had to reveal who he was. And it's interesting how many testimonies out of the New Age deal with that sort of thing. I remember listening to a testimony of a ghost hunter. And she was, you know, dabbling, of course, in the occult stuff, but then she was starting to have doubts, and she was kind of in the in-between, how so many of us were, in between New Age coming into Christianity. And she was in this position one time where this entity was there, and she had her little recording or whatever it was, and she rebuked it or yelled out Jesus' name. And on the recording, it had, like, this scream of this creature just leaving. And at the time, that was actually a very pivotal moment for her. She didn't realize there was so much power in that name. And I think it's I think that that is just really telling that even though you were dabbling with that, that entity still had to reveal who he was or it was.
That's the beauty of who Jesus is. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and
that's
every
right.
tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And I love that name. And I love him because everything has been given to me because of his life-giving resurrection and because of his love for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should never die but have eternal life. Wow, who doesn't want that, you know? What a wonderful thing.
Amen to that, Craig. And I also noticed in the beginning, one thing that really pulls on my heartstrings is children suffering or going through any sort of, they're so innocent, you know, and the fact that there's so much turmoil in your childhood, my heart breaks for that. You mentioned that you are, and you do work to help children, you said? You mentioned that in the beginning?
I have worked since about 1987 when I first came to this, where I'm living now. I got involved with the group that was actually teaching churches on the dangers of the occult, and I would go and give part of my testimony. I was still kind of in process at the point. But the occult crimes were so massive in this country at that time that I started to be asked to do training for law enforcement and for criminal justice groups, and that got me actively involved in court cases involving children who had been sexually abused, sometimes by people involved in the occult and sometimes just as part of human trafficking. And so I was both a trainer and at some points an advocate for children in this regard, and mainly as a voice for children. And I continue to do that on every level as much as I can. There was a great backlash in the 80s by the other side that tried to prove that none of this stuff was real, that it was all satanic panic, that there was nothing. And I have over, I guess, close to 6 gigabytes of actual working cases, which is thousands and thousands of pages to prove that not only was it real, but I believe that this exploitation of children is still taking place by people who are into very nefarious forms of anything from devil worship to other esoteric belief systems that believe that the abuse of a child is necessary for what they do.
Wow.
And I've always told people, I don't care if a kid is abused by a devil worshiper or the cookie monster,
yeah.
They need to be in jail, and the child needs to be safe. So I wrote a book called The Color of Pain that's specifically for boys that have been abused. Mm-hmm. And in the recent uproar over the Michael Jackson thing that became a couple of documentaries that I have to admit, it took me weeks to get through because what was being testified to was so real. I realized that there's so many kids out there in Hollywood, where I was born, and just across the country that are living in a silent hell because they have no one to tell. And we just simply have to be a voice for them. That's part of the gospel. Micah 6:8, this is what the Lord requires of you: to do justly, to do justice, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's part of what we do as believers.
What would you do to suggest for us as people, just, you know, your everyday person, what would you suggest to us to help with something like that? How can we be a part of that solution?
You mean just for children in general?
Yeah. So, I mean, as the body of Christ.
Well, one thing is, I know this is going to sound kind of Captain Obvious here, but we've really got to get out of our happy bubble because the enemy is at our door. One of the things that breaks my heart as a youth pastor that's worked with youth since I was 16 years old is our best solution is to have games and fun and a little Jesus snack at the end of the youth. And I was a youth pastor for 7 years, and we gave them warfare.
Yeah.
We gave them equipment because I saw that we were going to lose an entire generation to Luciferian thought if we didn't do something, and we're there. I watched the Avengers the other night, and I thought, it's all there. This generation, this is their worldview now, and Jesus is not a part of it. And so we have to, get, as believers, like I said, kind of get out of that happy bubble, and we need to, secondly, I think, ask God to break our hearts with what breaks his. And I think the third is to just be aware, you know, in our city, we've had over, and in all the border towns, we've had over 100,000 migrants come over the border. Mm-hmm. Or and the missing element in all of this that is so disturbing to me is that while they were pushed from the South American countries by other hands to come up here, while they were coming through Mexico, thousands and thousands of women and children were taken for human trafficking, and nobody even knew who they were. So even in this issue of immigration, we're missing the bigger picture.
Right.
Here in the United States, there are places, it was happening in the 80s and 90s, still happening, where parents were selling their kids for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so any place I go, I'm all ears and eyes. If something doesn't look right or sound right, pay attention, take notes, take license plates. If it's important enough, make a phone call. I think we stopped two girls who were being trafficked in our town because we paid attention.
Mm.
We got plates. We turned it into the authorities, and they broke it up. So
Wow. That's
really important.
Yeah, that's really important. One of the things I noticed that you wrote a book about, Gregory, is about the armor of God. And so I wondered if you could teach our audience who are not familiar with Ephesians 6 about putting on the armor and how some practical ways to deal with spiritual warfare, especially for those who are leaving the New Age and going into Christianity.
Yes. Paul said to take on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand, you know, and to the attacks that come to us. And it mentions the helmet of salvation. And I have a little book, but I just now put it out on Amazon. I took a section from one of my books, put it out, and it explains. Paul looked at the Roman army and said, "Okay, God, let me translate this for people." And so the helmet was very specific. It protected the ears, it protected the eyes, it kept the. And for us, that means keeping our mind right and right thinking with the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness means taking on the thing that's going to protect your heart from the attacks, what the Bible calls the fiery darts of the wicked one, because once you turn to truth, he'll start shooting those arrows trying to take you out. Mm-hmm. So you take the shield of faith, which is able to quench those fiery darts, and that's that thing that just protects us. Our feet, given the preparation of the gospel of peace, their shoes, we call them the good news shoes, that you're always ready to run and tell people the gospel. I think I'm missing a couple there. A belt of truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which we're guarded with truth. Truth is not optional. And truth is not, it's not relative. People say, well, that's your truth. There's only one truth. God gave us that truth in his word. And if you have that truth around you, then you're not going to fall for the lies of the enemy. So that's, and every day, that's what I did this morning. I said, Jesus, help me to put on that whole armor so that when we go into this interview, that I'm ready for war.
That's right.
Yeah.
We hear from a lot of people who say, who are converting, who are going through insomnia. And so putting on the armor of God before they fall asleep. Is there anything else that people could do to combat the enemy's punishment from leaving the enemy and going to Jesus?
Yes. Another book I wrote on this, and by the way, because I know how the enemy attacks all of us, and one of the things I get from the other side all the time is, yeah, you're just trying to make money off people. Yeah, no, I don't have any gold-plated doghouse in my backyard or anything. This is all I'm doing. When I promote a book, it's because, I mean, I would give them away by the millions if I could because I believe in them. One of them is about the battle for the mind, because that's really the biggest thing where the enemy attacks. And he will tell you you're a fool for having walked away and going to Jesus. At nighttime, there can be some people call them sleep paralysis. They're really demonic attacks. I dealt with that for years. Two ways that I dealt with that is, one is I read the scriptures, and believe me, I mean, and I don't say this in a disrespectful way, but the Bible is the best sleeping pill you can ever use.
It is.
Because you read a chapter and you're out. But that's a good thing. And the other thing is I read the scriptures out loud. I found psalms and scriptures like the psalms say, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me to dwell in safety. And then should that happen, should a manifestation happen in the middle of the night, I learned this the hard way, because the first time it happened, I shook and I was scared and I didn't know what to do, because this thing literally appeared to me, my former spirit guide, and it was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen. And all I could say is, what do you want? And it said, give up your ministry or I'll destroy you.
Mm.
I was only 16 at the time. I didn't have a ministry. I had no clue what that meant. I talked to a friend of mine and he said, yeah, don't worry about that. They're afraid of Jesus. So next time they show up, just use the name of Jesus. So I waited. I showed up. And I just, when I was able, because when you're in that paralysis, you can't even talk. You can, but in my mind, I just said Jesus over and over again. And suddenly I could speak. And I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house and don't ever come back. And I literally saw a look of surprise on his face. And like Glinda and the Wizard of Oz, pop, and it was gone.
Well, never, that's one of the things is if you read the Gospels and the stories of Jesus in the Bible, the demons all recognized who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God and the Messiah before any person really did. I mean, a few people, of course, recognized him, but it was the demons consistently who knew exactly who Jesus was. So they still know who he is, and that's why they're afraid of him.
Absolutely, and I hate to say that they're smarter than we are, but in that regard, you know, we could take a clue from them and recognize he is Lord. He is God. And if the demons in hell, and people say, well, I believe, not quite enough, because it says even the demons believe and tremble with fear. To believe in Jesus is to completely commit to him. And when you do that, the lady that I used to work with, may her memory be blessed, she trained me in a lot of this stuff, and she had a picture in her office of just a cartoon drawing of Jesus and all these little children hiding behind his robe and peering out. I thought, that's it. I don't have to do this battle. I've had demons look me in the face and say, you can't do this. And I say, you're absolutely right, and I'm not going to. It's Jesus Christ that's going to make you go.
Oh, my goodness. Standing ovation. Yeah, that's it right there.
Greg, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story, and it's so personal and so inspiring, and I really thank you for taking the time to talk with me. And
my blessing, thank you.
We were wondering, in closing, if you mind praying out our video. Unless, Doreen, do you have anything else that you'd like to add or ask?
I actually have a million questions. Well, that's an exaggeration. I have many questions for Gregory. I think we could talk for two more hours, but in the just to keep it brief, probably close it out and then refer people to Gregory's website, gregoryreed.com.
Yeah,
all right, let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments we've been able to spend together. I pray your blessings, Lord God, on Doreen, Melissa, God, I pray that you protect them and the work they're doing, their family, their pets, their houses. Lord, we thank you, God, that you brought us from great darkness into the light. Yet at a time when we thought that we were in the light, you loved us enough to shine the light of Jesus and to bring us out of that darkness and to give us life and life abundantly. We can't thank you enough. We can't praise you enough for loving us and for saving us and for giving us eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for your time. We know you're super busy with all of your work, and we've just been blessed by this video.
Thank you. I have been too. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bless you too.
And we want to thank you for joining us. We know that sometimes these videos can really maybe shine a mirror in a place that you may not even be aware of or even want to look at. And again, Melissa and I are not judging you because we've been there. We're loving on you. Melissa and I do these videos with our guests because We wish that someone else would have given us videos like this back when we were in the New Thought and New Age. So we hope you know that we're doing this out of love, and we hope that she'll come back for our next video.
Thank you.
encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a testimony. Yeah, this stuff really goes on. It really happens. And I heard this one testimony of this lady who her grandmother, she was in, I think it's Africa, and her grandmother needed a son because where they were, girls couldn't carry on the family, only boys could. So she sold out to some demon, and they gave her a boy child. And when he had to leave, her dad had to leave because he converted from witchcraft to Christianity. So he left, went to another city, another place, country, and met her mother. And when the mother was getting ready to deliver her, the grandmother would come. But the dad prayed, and God wouldn't allow that grandmother to come because some more witchcraft stuff was going to go on. And she said that she was into it for a while because that, you know, is where they come from, you know, the type of lifestyle. But she got married, and I think before she got married, she converted over into Christianity. But this stuff is real, and the devil is banking on people believing that he is not real. That's what he's banking on. I was in Fairbanks, Alaska, and this young man, I had taken him for a job interview, and he said, you know what I learned, Miss Barbara? I said, what, Dad? He said, I learned this. The devil don't want you to believe that he's real, and that's how he get us. But this man here, Gregory Reed, he's working with the youth, the new age, the new wave people, because many didn't come from that old-fashioned, as they call it, background. They didn't come from that. So they don't know how to be afraid, you know, of evil. They think it's just something, you know, that you can just do. And it's just a part of life, and, you know, this is what we do, and it's okay. Not knowing that you've been sucked into some stuff. And you heard him say he was molested many times himself. And then he got to see children being sold, you know, human trafficking and all kind of stuff, because evil is evil, and that devil is not playing. We play. Yeah, we say we Christians, we believers, we the saints of God, we the people, but we play. But that devil don't ever play. He's dead serious in what he's doing. And so we have to be careful and teach our children. Yes, please. If you're a pastor of a church, take time and teach those children that the word of God is real. God is real. He so loved us, he sent his only begotten son. Instill this in them. And any day that you get in trouble, you call on the name of Jesus. You call him. He's coming. Yeah. Because so many children I see today, and they have grown up to be adults, and they go through so much, because they didn't have a solid, solid, solid foundation. Yeah. And some parents and even grandparents, they say they're in the church and they believe in God and they know God, but they're doing the opposite of what the word of God says. And the children sitting back thinking, it's okay. I got some close family members grew up in the church. But how about this? If you could throw a block party for your children's birthday and you pastor a church, you lead praise and worship, and it's okay that you throw a block party and invite all of the worldly people in to help you as a pastor or pastors to celebrate your child's birthday, and one of your children have a disability. What in the world? What in the world? Yeah. I say, when I first saw that, I said, oh, my goodness. And then I continued to see some other patterns. And when God would speak, they didn't like it. And so I'm thinking, well, how are you pastoring people? And when God speaks, and you know it's the word of God, you know it's the word of God, and you're against it. And your children looking at you. So today, you can't even tell your children nothing. The children are grown. They can't tell those kids nothing. They can do anything they want to do. And when they come talking to them about it, they go, okay then, well, all right. I'll see you later. Because it's what they saw you preachers do. I remember this guy told me he went to the Catholic Church and they had some kind of celebration. He said they had so much liquor there and the nuns was drunk. I said, what? He said, yeah. See, because we think we can be in the flesh and in God. No, you got to choose this day whom you're going to serve. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Yeah, I can't be the evangelist and the weed smoker and drinking liquor and getting drunk, or drinking liquor, period. That strong drink, he said, put it away. Have a little wine for your stomach's sake. Huh? Drink the wine wherein you're not excessed. Don't overdo it to get drunk off the wine. I can do what the world do and go to church on Sunday and preach like I'm crazy. But all that I preach, I'm not living it. I got to live that daily which I preach. Oh, it would be a bad thing for me to bring all the gospel, all the word of God. I mean, the truth is the truth. It's what the explanations, the explaining of it, the understanding of it, the wisdom and the knowledge of it is the truth. And then I miss the mark and go to hell. My goodness alive. Because I'm preaching one thing over here, but I'm living another over there. God is not pleased. Our heart and our lips must line up together. I say it every day. We can't do anything in front of children and expect children to have respect for us. It won't work. I lived in the project. But you had to have respect because I respected you. And I didn't let you see me doing any and every old thing. They didn't know me to be the lady that prayed for you and I'm living with a man. They didn't know me to be the lady that prayed for you and men in and out of my house. Unless it was the maintenance man, my brothers, you know what I'm saying, my sons. Yeah. We got to be careful what we do before children. And the day I had said, I said, oh, I got to be careful talking to them. But you still can talk to them today. Because what children love, they love an adult who showed them attention. I want a lot of children because I showed them attention, paid attention to what they had to say. And don't let me give them two or three cookies. Oh, boy, there wasn't nothing they wouldn't do. I had a young man used to come and take the trash out. He'd come twice a day sometimes. Peanut Willie. And he'd come. He said, Miss Mac, I want to take the trash out. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, I'll give you a dollar. He said, yeah, that's what I want right there because I want me two of them cupcakes. I said, okay. They say he was so bad, he'd cuss you out and all of that. He never cussed me out. He never said nothing out the way. Matter of fact, he would come and watch around the door. And when the little kids would be there, he would tell the bigger kids, don't try to cheat them. I'm watching. I can count. Miss Mac, I say, what? 100 drips of syrup all over your front porch. Bring me some soapy water and I'll clean it up. They say he was a bad, he was a bad brother. That little peanut. But he liked the attention I gave him. And then I told him, I said, well, Peanut, if you take my trash out for a dollar, if you go around and ask the other tenants, can you take theirs out for a dollar? I said, Peanut, you'll have a trash business. He said, yeah, Miss Mac, that's a good idea. I'm finna do that. I said, well, do that. He came one day and he told me that his dad was coming to get him and he was going to spend the weekend with his dad. And so he brought a little fella. I loved the little fella. His name was Dashawn. And he said, Miss Mac, I'm going to take my little vacation. And while I'm gone, don't let nobody else take your trash out. This is my worker right here, Dashawn, and let him take your trash out. I said, okay. He said, Miss Mack, I said, well, he said, I'm taking Dashawn to every one of my customers and letting them know Dashawn is the one to take your trash out. He said, because there's other boys trying to come and compete with our business. And I can't have it, Miss Mack. I got to have my cupcake. That's it. All right, Peter, I understand. So in the evening, he would come back and say, Miss Mack, you got trash? I said, yeah. He said, let me get the trash on out for you. You see, other children would come. Willie Hilly can tell you. Other children would come. And them kids, they love it because I had three-year-olds coming around there with one penny. One penny. I said, what you want, baby? What can I get for this? They done found a penny on the ground. And it just excited them and made them happy because they thought they had some money and they was coming to buy something from the candy lady. I said, well, you can get two cookies with that. Two? I said, yeah, two cookies. Let me get two cookies. Take my penny. One little girl, she was riding up finding pennies and saving them up. I said, you want a whole lot of cookies. Can I get anything else? I said, yeah, you got enough to get some other things. Give me chips. Give me a honey dripper. You know, the frozen fruit juice in the cup. And a lot of times we put a little sugar in there and we add fruit cocktail or peaches or some pineapple to it. And it tastes real good. Yeah. And they flip it over. Some people call it a flip. They flip it over in the cup, put the top of it in the bottom of the cup. And the bottom of it is just full of all kind of wonderful flavor. And so all that kind of thing, you know, I would go in the summer and give out the free lunch. And boy, they love that right there. They love that free lunch. Yeah. Miss Mike, what time are you going to be around there? I said, well, I'll be around at 11, but we don't give out lunches until 11:30. I'll be there, Miss Mike. And the bigger boys, I would say, hey, can y'all help me clean up this area? It was like, yeah, you got a mop and water? I said, uh-huh. Well, we'll mop the floor. But children like attention, the attention of adults. And we as the saints of God, we can show children attention. And when we do this, if you give them a little something, some type of little gift that they like, you can keep them on the right. Parents sometimes can't tell the children what to do. But when you tell them what to do, they will listen because you showed them attention. And as a child, you gave them something. And people think it's hard to please children. It's not hard. You just have to have some time. And our job is to train our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, train them up in the word of God, in the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. Yeah. My daughter, I said, when she got 33, she would give her life to the Lord. She's a little older than 33, but she has given her life to the Lord. And the way she talked to me now, some days I'd be like pinching myself. Is this that same girl? And she told me, this week, what night or day can you sit down with me and have Bible study? I said, well, Monday evening. She said, okay, Monday evening at between 6 and 7, I'm going to call you and you can go over the scriptures with me. I've been reading, but I don't quite, you know, understand everything. When she was 9 years old, 8 years old, I could call. I said, come here, Kalea. I need you to touch and agree with me in prayer. And when she got through that, she would go and lay on her face and pray. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Train them up in the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. And if you're separated from your husband, you're separated from your wife, and you have to get the children, get them children and instill that word in them. Talk to them about the word of God. And another way to help them to remember, have a little something you know they like. They come to McDonald's and get them off that dollar menu. Get them whatever on that dollar menu. You ain't going to spend no more than $2 or $3. Yeah, get them some nuggets and fries and a drink. That's $3. And talk to them about the Lord. Give them some songs, some gospel songs. When they get old, they'll remember it. I got a friend, her name Gwen. She's older than me. And back in the day, we used to hang out big time and talk about boys. We used to sneak in the wine and sip on the wine and things. We was young. And one day she told me on Facebook, she said, you know what I remember you for? I said, what? She said, you gave me this song. And I said to myself, a song. And when she told me the name of the song, I was really floored over that. I say, this girl, it's a gospel song because I was in the church choir. I say, she remembered that song. And children will do the same thing. When my children and I get together, and we used to get together quite a lot, and this after they grown and everything, and I would fry fish or chicken or barbecue or whatever I'm doing, and they all come to the house. And all I had to do is say, when I was young, and turn my back, it start attending to my pots on the stove and what I got going on in the oven. And you would hear every one of them say, I recall singing was my mother's joy as we gathered to sing amazing. I remember that. Amazing Grace. Yeah. And the lead singer most time would be my son, A.L. And he would say, amazing. And you hear the rest of them say, sing grace. I taught them that as children. I taught them certain scriptures as children. Yeah. Train them up in the way they should go. I couldn't help which way I was going. But they needed to know Jesus for themselves. And that same girl that come in Monday night for the Bible study, she said, I told everybody I get mad with her some days, and some days she make me mad enough to cuss her out, but I hang the phone up. And then when I cool off, then I call her back, Mom, sorry, but you know, I ain't going to never disrespect you, but Mom, I was hot the other day, so it's just best I hang the phone up. She said, but I told my husband and I tell my friends one thing about it. She gave us the greatest gift that we could ever get, which was Jesus. It's up to us what we do. Yeah, we might talk about it and all of that, but one thing about it, she gave us God, and she gave us the word, and it's up to us to go back to him. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she a minister too. Yeah, but you know, when you get grown, you do what you want to do until God really tap that shoulder and say, hey, look here, no more of that now. You do that again, this, that, and the other going to happen to you. Or they get that feeling, yeah, I better come out of this food. I better stop this right here. Now, he done spared me a long time, and I knew better. I better come on in. Yeah, they'll do all of that for you. I'm telling you. Train them up in the way they should go. Don't train them up in the way of the world. Train them up. I don't care whoever else is teaching them. The school can teach them. Anybody else can teach them. But you train them up in the way. You get them that word, and you tell them, look, I don't care what nobody else said, this book is true. But you got to get in this book for yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you some things in the book to help you, but you got to get in this book one day for yourself. And you got to pray and talk to God. And if you don't really understand and you think you ain't right, ask him how to give your life to him. Tell him you want to give your life to him. It's personal. And I'm going to leave you with this song. Remember this song now. And every chance you get, you sing that song to them. When they get grown, they'll sing that song back to you. I remember you taught me this song. But when you give them Xboxes, you giving them Nikes and Reeboks, you letting them go where they want to go. You buying them the kind of clothes they want to have. They're going to school for the fashion show, not to get an education. Look, when they get older, they ain't going to have nothing but confusion in their life. And sometimes it look like what we're training them in God look like they just not getting it. Look like they get worse before. But don't you worry, because his word won't return void. Yeah. I used to walk through the house and say, somebody need to tell me what God doing in here. And they'll look at me. I said, he doing something in here. And they know, it looked like nobody mentioned it. I saw y'all at the table saying grace. I said, but look like that's all he getting, some grace. I said, he doing something in here. Somebody said, well, he put food on that table. I said, all right. And he put all that cereal up there on top of the refrigerator and in the pantry. And some days I walk off and be laughing to myself. Yeah. I said, it just don't feel right in here. Is everything all right in here? I said, the Spirit of the Lord still in here? Or y'all done ushered him out of here? I said, what that you watching on TV? I'm just getting home from work. Oh, we watching so-and-so and so on. I said, oh, let me see if that's what it is. That's what it is, Mama. Okay, now. Yeah. I had to give them something they could feel, give them something they could work with. Yeah, and I used to tell them, y'all run into church every Sunday. Now, look, I wasn't doing nothing. I had a form of godliness myself in denying the power thereof, but I say, y'all going to church every Sunday, and I need to see some results of them teachings y'all getting from the church. I said, don't forget, I was right there with you. Now, I know if you're doing it or not. I know if you're obeying what Lewis told you. Pastor was named Lewis Williams, Household of Faith Church. Yeah, don't play in here. And I would be sick on a Wednesday night, and I didn't go to Bible study. They went. And when they come home, I would have a fresh pan of bread pudding or sweet potato pie, three of them or four of them, you know. I might have some hash or some chili or whatever. So when they got back there, they had a wonderful snack. What y'all learned in Bible study? Oh, he talked about this tonight. And one time they used to come home and say, oh, consider the ant, you sluggard. Yeah, they would tell each other that because that's what he had taught them. And they used to say, yeah, look at him. Mama, I say, huh? Abba, I say, what? Look now, Dooley didn't do this, this, and that. He didn't do that and that. He did something else. I told him to consider the ant, oh, sluggard. Because you're a sluggard. The ant prepare before the winter. In the summer, he prepared for the winter. And in the winter, he prepared for the summer. You're not preparing for nothing. I would be just tickled. But yeah, you had to tell me something there. And see, my daughter, the same one I'm telling you about, wants the Bible study. Listen, she says her kids come home and do their home. She give them a snack. They do their homework. And then they, instead of getting on the game, they have to go up there and read a scripture, and then they have to come down and explain to her what they just read in the book. And it couldn't be nothing old. It had to be something new, unless they God then added something to their understanding. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he get old, he won't depart from it. Now, when he's 20, 21, I don't know. But by the time he turned 45, you ought to see him leaning back more and more towards God. Because at 45, he done experienced some things. He done learned some things. And he done learned about the ways of the world. And I need God to get me through this. He or she may have children and a husband or wife. Yeah. And Henley, somebody taught you, Henley. When you got older, you didn't depart from it, Henley. You had to come back. That word works. That word is the truth. I know it to be the truth. It done showed up so truthfully in my life so many times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That done showed up. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I taste and I got to see for myself that he was good. That word hold true. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When I tell you I've seen all of this for myself come to life, I saw it work for me. The word worked for me. I done had people, oh, that slavery stuff. Oh, the master did that to keep you in bondage. Well, I tell you what, ask the master, do he know any more scriptures like that? Like Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Do he know any more like that? Because those truly work for me. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You living the best clean life you can live. And it's not unto man, it's unto God. He will lead and guide you to a deeper path. He'll bless you the more. Ain't nobody can tell me about that word. I tried it for myself. Anybody heard the song that says, try Jesus, he's all right. Try Jesus, he's all right. Well, try Jesus, he's all right. How you know? I done tried him, man. He's all right. My early morning boys. Try him for yourself. Try him for yourself. And then even in this, when he said this, bring them tithes and offering it to the storehouse. Go ahead and bring it on in here so that there would be meat in my house. You can prove me this day. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive. Let me tell you something. Folk will be knocking on your door bringing stuff. You'll go to your own mailbox and there will be an unexpected check in the mail for you. The doctor took the test and come back and told you, well, you got this, this, and that. And you get home thinking that's what you got, and he called you back and said, Ms. Mack, I made a mistake. I was looking at an older thing, but when I look back at the new test that you took, Ms. Mack, that's no longer a part of your life. You don't have that. And I'm going to take you off the medication. Do you hear me this morning? You got to try them for yourself. If grandmama, mama, whoever took you to church, whoever told you about God and what they told you, you kind of believe it, but you're not real sure, go to him. I heard Gregory say the same thing somewhat that I said. I went to the Lord from a sincere heart and I said, I heard you was real. I want to believe that you're real. But I don't know that you're real. But if you're real, I want to be just as real in you as you are real. And all the stuff I've seen in the churches, apostolic, Pentecostal, Baptist, all of that, Church of Christ, CME, AME, I had been in some churches. And when God came in, all that I saw in them buildings, that's not what he did in me. That's not what he did through me. That's not what he did for me. That's not the way I came out. I was a new creature in Christ, but yet I was still Barbara. He didn't take me love and laughter away. He didn't take that away. He just changed it. I can no longer use people handicapped to laugh at, but I can laugh at good, wholesome stuff. He didn't take me wanting to be clean, you know, and dress decent. He didn't take that from me. He just switched the wardrobe. Instead of all the skimpy stuff, all the whole clothes, he took that away from me and gave me what a godly woman should wear. My desire for dress code changed, but I still like to dress nice. Because I'm a new creature in Christ. He took a lot of things from me, and some things he didn't take, he just changed it. Made it new, like I never had it before. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we got to get real with him. He can do all of this and more. If we'll get, look here. He laid down his life for us. He gave it for us. Are we really willing to give our life for him? Because if we're not going to obey his word, how are we going to give our life for him? You don't want to even do what he said. I don't know how you're giving up life for him. Peter told him, Judas Iscariot told him that lie. I think Peter too, I'll lay down my life for you. I'll die for you. Really? Look here, before that chicken crow three times, you're going to be denied me three times. Before he crow one time, you're going to be done denying me three. And Judas Iscariot, you're going to betray me. You sitting here dipping in the bowl with me right now, but you done already went down and sold out for the 30 pieces. But he's real this morning. That's what I want you to know. And if you go to him, he will in no wise cast you out. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been, where you come from, what you've been through, what you're going through. He's a deliverer. He blesses that Apostle Paul said we can forget those things that are behind. Come on, y'all. Let's press towards Is it that mark for the prize of the high calling, or is it the prize for the mark of the high calling? Come on, let's go do it. And what he even did back there in the book of Genesis, Exodus, all the way up to Revelation, he's still able to do those things today. But we got to believe. When I think about Yahweh, I don't have COVID that I know of, never had it. On the first go round, I didn't have it. On the second go round so far, I don't have it. And I've been around people. And a little tissue mask, a little cloth mask, that's not going to keep no germs out. I done pumped gas, forgot to put the gloves on. I'm just honest. Don't have nothing. The little coughing thing, you that's from the fan at night. I need to cut it off, but I love it. And wake up the next morning clogged up. Yeah, but guess what? It's not from COVID. It's not from anything the devil sent in my way. It's from what I'm doing, and I know it, and I know what I'm doing. God is faithful to us if we could just remain faithful to him. I can speak some, God will establish it. Because what I'm speaking it so not only I would be blessed, but somebody else would be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this Friday. We thank you this weekend for all that you're able to do for us. And that word faith, let me tell y'all something. That faith in God is one of the greatest things you can have. That faith in his word, believe in God, believe in his word, that's the greatest thing you can have. Because when you believe him, he can move. When you don't believe him, he can't do nothing. You don't believe. What's the point? But believe him and see what he does for you. I dare you to believe him. If he said this, he gonna do that. If he said that, he gonna do this. Don't worry about it. And we hold on to his word until we can't hold on no more. And we stand on his word because we're standing on a solid foundation. It will not break. It will not give in. His word gonna do what he set out for it to do. If he said you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you, yes, you can. He has said you the head and not the tail. That's what you are. I don't care what they said about you on the job. I don't care if they say you're not the cook. Go on out there and wait on a table. Guess what? You the head waitress. You don't need no title. You don't need head waitress attached to your name. Just go on out there and work like you got that title and watch you bring it to pass. We want to grumble and complain. Stop it. I'm coming, Sister Jerry. Matter of fact, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to start at verse 10, and we'll probably read down to 16 on down in there. But let me read this for you. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this morning. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, goodness of life, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Ha. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I may be locked up in jail, but I can tell you what he said. I may be going through a few things. My knee may be hurting, but I can tell you what he said. And I'm going to believe what he said. He said, put on that whole armor. See, if you put on the whole armor, you're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But if you don't have the whole armor on, you're going to get defeated. You're going to get depressed. You're going to get tired. You're going to start believing what the devil said. But he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he told you what you're wrestling against. Principalities. Against powers. Against power. He just talked about it this morning, Greg Reed. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's not in hell. It's not in another place. It's in this world. The world we're living in right now. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Where the high places at? Think on that for a minute. Where is the high places? A lot of times we're looking and worrying about what other people got. Oh, they got a new car. Oh, they making repairs on their house. Oh, their whole family got a new wardrobe over there. Oh, they coming up in money. You don't know how it's coming about. You don't know what they're burning. You don't know what they're shaking around. You don't know what they're chanting. You don't know who they're connected to. Wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness, powers of this old world here, evil. Yeah, don't let the Joneses fool you. That's foolishness. Folks sending all kind of stuff. They sent me something in the mail to me, some water and some oil and some something. Look here, I put it in the garbage. I got the word of God. I have the spirit of God. I have faith in God and trust. He ain't sending me nothing to wipe nothing down and rub off. Now, I don't need all of that. So that's witchcraft. Yeah. Now, I know about Paul and he prayed over the cloth and all of that. Okay, that's fine. But I don't really need that. I don't need that. I need Jesus. I need the spirit of God moving for me. I need the word of God moving for me. That's what I believe. And that's what I believe. Ooh, I come for deliverance, huh? Deliverance I received. Oh, huh? You said you'd deliver me. And that's what I believe. Hallelujah. Over and again, that's what I believe. Whatever I need, he gonna supply. I ask him to loose the protecting angels, loose his ministering angels. Keep me safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Father, today loose our money angels to go get our money and bring it to us. Don't let us have to go for it. Lord, open the door and let the angels go get our money and bring it to us. We got bills to pay. It's the first of the month, Father. We got things to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And Father, if it's not enough, we ask that you would multiply. And we believe you're doing it right now by faith in the name of Jesus. And Father, we trust you. And if you're not doing it with money, you're doing it another way. Help us to trust you that it's going to be done. But Father, we asking for the money. Money answers all things. Hey, we don't love it, God. We need some. We want some. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, money, money, money. Big, big money. Money makes me happy. Money makes me glad. I want money, money, big, big money. And ain't nobody mad about it but the devil. He's the only one mad about it. Hallelujah. God owned the heaven and the earth. Woo! Don't tell me what he can't do. I feel all right right now. I feel like a little run want to be in my feet right there. Hallelujah. We just got to believe God. And stop looking at the negative and stop hearing the negative. Begin to think on the God that you serve. He got all the power. There's no higher power. And all power is on your side. The songwriter said Jesus is on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. That's because this COVID and variants and Delta variants and mu and all this new stuff out here. I don't have no time for that. Just because they done pulled stuff out of Afghanistan and left stuff, people and stuff over there. I don't have time for that. I'm still asking God for what I want because I prayed the prayer for them left in Afghanistan. I prayed the prayer of faith for the family of the soldiers that died. I prayed for Mr. Biden. I prayed that the Air Force can go back and do whatever needs to be done. I pray that God protect his people, especially those that's willing to work in the vineyard, and it's not about me and I'm so selfish. Already done prayed. Not only did God hear, but in his perfect time, and he's going to move. So I still need money. Big, big money. Money makes me happy. Money makes me glad. I want some money, and ain't nobody mad again but the devil. That's just how it is for me. I love folks, and if I get some big, big money, I'm going to bless some people. You better know it. Ooh, boy, am I going to bless some people. I'm working on a thing. I got some folks I'm going to give $300 a piece to. If I can give them five a piece, ooh, boy, looky here. Somebody might have to tie me to a chair if they could because I'm going to praise God. I even got some families I want to be a blessing to. I want to pay some house notes and things. God know the very intent of my heart. And if it be his will, he going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you, ma'am. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed, Jerry. You know I can't complain today.
I'm blessed right there with you.
Man.
I had to press that number one when you said that song. How did you say it? Try Jesus. He's all
yeah.
right.
I done tried it, man. He's all right.
He's all right. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I went to church every Sunday, but, you know, I didn't get to church. And I wanted to know from my brother, how do you learn all these sermons and know them all? And when I call you, say, Mike, I need a prayer. And then my husband died, and you won't give me a prayer. He said, I was in the same place you were in, Jerry. We grew up in the same house together. There's this thing called 66 books. Oh, you wouldn't got 66 books, Michael? He said, I know Mary Ivy is rolling in his grave when she had you by the little head and you was a little girl in the family, only girl in the family, and she's sitting you by her and you peeping under the benches at the little boys. Have you tried Jesus? He's all right. Pick that Bible up. And whatever page the Bible leads you to, that's where God's at. He's with mm-hmm. you, Jerry. He's moved Robert. But he's with you day, night, anytime, 24/7. And Barbara, ever since I've tried Jesus, I may have less money, but I'm paying more bills.
Amen.
My God. I may have less money, but I'm eating better than I ever did in my whole life. So I say to my friends, and I say to them all, I don't have time to be messed up with these men that's blowing you all mind because I don't know what they're doing to you guys, but they're running you crazy. I don't want to be in that boat. I want to get on the boat where God is sending me to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he who finds a wife, not me who finds a man. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And when he finds you, he won't treat you like Christ. He'll treat you like the queen you are.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for life. I thank you for strength. I thank you that everything going to be all right.
Amen.
Even with the COVID wandering and going everywhere it's going. All
Amen.
Power is in your hand, Lord. And I just want to say, thank you, Jesus, because you're all right in my house. I don't know how I was going to make it when Robert died, because I had all my, but Lord, I don't worry about how I'm going to make it. I get up early, early in the morning, waiting on the time for morning, Jesus in the morning. And when they don't come on Saturday, I put it on the archive, because my son, Calvin, he gets up clapping. He gets up clapping, letting me know, it's Jesus time, Mama.
Yeah.
I raised three boys, but I know one of them really loved the Lord.
Yeah.
I know one of them really loved women. He say, I'm the dog, and I'll run up after the tree, after the cat. I know one of them well. I just don't really know that I know him, and I burst that one.
Mm-hmm.
But all I say is, Lord, I turn him over to you.
Yeah, Lord. Yes.
Because all things is possible with you. I don't need no Ouija board. I don't need no stones, and I don't need your miracle water. God, your water comes out the sky, and no one can tell me what color it is. But I can feel it, and I know it's wet, because I know it's you, Jesus. Take me by my hand and lead me on. The one thing I learned from my mommy before she died is I stretch my hands to thee, Father God, for there's no other help I know. If thou withdraw thy hands from me, well, if will I go?
Mm-hmm.
I want to stay with you, Lord. Oh, I love money. I love money, lots and lots of money.
Hallelujah.
But God blesses me with it, even when it don't look like it. People told me Social Security takes 2 or 3 years before you get it. I applied for it on a Tuesday, and I got it the following Friday. Hallelujah. When one door closed, God opened up another one.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment ran out, and Social Security kicked straight in. I didn't miss a beat. And then God sent me $20,000. Sent me $20,000 plus a monthly check. I love Jesus. He's all right. He met every one of my needs and paid off my bills. I am covered in the blood, and God is taking every day good care of me.
Amen.
And I thank him for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Jerry. Amen. I am with you when you're right, sister. He's a good God. He's on our side. There's nothing he can't do. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And if we'll trust him, believe in him, and trust him, there's nothing he won't do for us. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, yeah. I thank you, Lord. I thank you today. That's all I can tell him. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And look, this is what I learned. I learned to go to him. And some days it'd be some hard things. And I say, Jesus, I need you to carry this petition to the Father. And ask him, will he do this, this, and this? And tell him I had you to bring it. And I'm asking him to do it in your name. Baby, look here. That make me feel 100% knowing it's going to get done. I know he going to do it. Because his son brought it for me. And I told him to tell the Father, I asked him to bring it and bring it in his name. Oh, I know it's already done in Jesus. I don't care what it is. It's already done in the name of Jesus. And listen, today I get to Zoom with my daughter. And I talked to my son-in-law last night. I said, well, listen, do you think one of them nurses can put that phone? I know they busy. But could they put that phone to her ear so she could hear my voice? He said, well, Barbara, you can Zoom with her. I Zoom with her. I said, now, see, he didn't tell me that. I want to fight him over that. He said, and if you come by here, I can show you, but I didn't say it to him. But I was thinking to myself, I can't come your way. Y'all got COVID over there. Yeah, I'm not a glutton for punishment. But I called Mayo for myself, the Mayo Hospital. And today I got to call and see if this lady there, and she going to show me how to use my notebook to connect to Zoom, to connect to her room, and I'll be able to talk to her. That's all I needed to do, y'all. The old pastor wife, Lewis William Bernadette, she was over there walking around the hospital praying. Yeah. And I said, well, you go, Bern. You go on and pray. Hallelujah. Then I had to talk to my son, A.L., last night. He all tore up. I said, boy, you can't be around here with that. We lifting her up to God. He's the author and finisher of our faith, not us. And I'm not looking for her to go nowhere. She should live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. God is not through with her yet.
And so I can. Anything too hard for God.
You say
it, Jerry. Anything too hard for God.
Amen. With God, all things are possible. We just got to do what? Believe. See it in your mind. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See your hope, the evidence of things not seen. You don't have it tangible in your hand, but your hope, you see it because you're hoping for it, and you know how you want it to be. Oh, yeah, I believe God today. So that's what I believe. Hallelujah.
That's what I believe.
Hallelujah.
Faith
thank you.
Faith is the key that opens up any door of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it out your mouth. Say it in your heart and believe it. You got to believe. Because that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe. They told me my son, Al, was 3 weeks old. His father and mother didn't know no better. They threw him up against the wall. He had a brain fracture. They say he wouldn't live to be a year old. I say, I'll still take him home. Do you want us to put him down? I said, no. I'll take him home and I'll endure whatever. Al is currently now 26 years old.
Yes, ma'am.
The doctor called him dead. God said he should live and not die. Now he's the big dog running up the tree after the cat. I just don't know.
Love
the Lord.
All right.
Love the Lord. He said, Mama, I'm believing God for your walking ability. I'm believing God for your finances. Now, I didn't birth Al, but he said, Mama, I'm going to start sending you money every month.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I birthed, oh, Lord, have mercy.
It be that way, Jerry. It be that way, but it's okay. God got a purpose and a plan. And he wants you to keep looking to Jesus, from which cometh your help, because all your help comes from the Lord.
Come and
made
the Lord.
You remember the other
all
day?
Right, Barbara, I won't take up too much of your time, but I just wanted to tell God, thank you, Jesus, for being there for a wretch like me.
Yes, ma'am. Remember the other day I played a song for you, Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Lou and Sherry song.
Uh-huh. The blood that Jesus shed for me.
Yes.
God know what he's doing. He know what's coming our way before we know, and he'll prepare us, but sometimes we don't understand that's what he's doing. But nonetheless, he sent what we need, and we are right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you right there.
Yes,
yeah, look. Listen, I'm going to play this one right here, and I'm dedicating this one this morning to myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You keep me in perfect peace.
And that's what I see.
Miss Leafoot, Mother Leafoot, Sister Rita, Sister Brown, Brother D, Brother Jermaine, and everybody, Sister Jerry, good morning to you. I just thank God for fellowship this morning. Again, you know, hearing each other's voice and, you know, just getting some spiritual food, you know, that we need, you know, to line up with God's word and things that, you know, we go through in life that we don't know. You know, we had an opportunity to learn about it. And, I just wanted to, you know, comment a little bit on, about the show this morning. The topic this morning. I had a cousin of mine, and he a little older than me. You know, he know God, and he still trying to live his life right. But you know, everybody, you know, go through their little storms and trials in life, and I hang out with him and talk to him, and he ended up dating this young lady, and he's a little bit older than her, and we end up going to her house, and I get the spiritual people you be around, and from meeting her, she's a good person, good heart, to me, but it was just something about her, in my spirit that I felt about her. But I say this to say, I was over there one night, and she had some tarot cards. And she pulled out a tarot card, and she was like, you want to do a reading? I said, I don't need you to do no reading on me. I said, because I don't believe in that. I said, I believe in God. So, I'm whatever God say, that's what I'm going with. I say, that right there is the devil. I say, I don't condone it. I don't listen to, nothing the enemy got to say to me, and, she ain't really getting no attitude about it, but she still, was, like, persistent with trying to, do the tarot card thing and, flip them over and all that stuff right there. And I was like, you can read it if you want to. I said, but I'm going to ignore you and act like I ain't even hear you, So, you kind of got to be cautious, who you be around and, things like that, And I, that's always something that I know from, just growing up and, being in God, and that, that, and Ouija boards and that stuff right there, I don't mess around with it. I don't want nothing to do with it. And anybody that's involved with it, I try not to be around, because I don't want no kind of spirits or nothing like that to try to jump me. I'm already fighting the spirits and stuff that I got to deal with, trying to get to the mark, to be with God. So, you got to be careful these days and, mm-hmm. just pray and seek God's face, and all your ways, because these days you never know, where you can get connected to. So I just wanted to say that comment. Y'all have a blessed day. And y'all pray for me, and I keep y'all in my prayers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm with you when you're right, Brother Anthony. I am with you when you're right. I don't want nothing to do with it. I gave the devil back all his tools. And I don't have time for all of that. Keep that over there with you. Because what I know, and people say, I'm lucky. That was luck. I'm going to be luck. Now, keep luck, too, because luck runs out. Did anybody know luck run out? Now, I don't want nothing lucky either. I'm good. I'm good where I am. Yeah. It's nothing God can't do. Nothing the Spirit of the Lord can't move upon for me. But I got to trust him. I got to believe him. Hallelujah. Let me do a quick roll call this morning. And God bless you, Brother Anthony. And God bless you day to day. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning to you again, Sister Jerry and Brother Anthony and Sister Dorothy Goodman. And good morning to you, Sister Rita and Sister Stenna and Sister Mari. God bless you, Sister Mari. Good morning to you, my Nikki, and good morning to you, my son, Willie Henley. And good morning to you, the shoe lady, Sister Sion. God bless you this morning. And thank God for you coming through. Good morning to you, Sister Anna Lee Foot. Good morning, Mama. And good morning to you, Sister Angela Foot. God bless you over there. And good morning to you, Sister Mary Ann and Sister Melody Rose, Sister Samoa and Sister Angela in California, Sister Laura, Mr. Mason and Miss Deborah. Good morning to y'all. God bless y'all in Philadelphia. And Sister Lexis and Sister Lachelle and Sister Andrea in Philadelphia and Sister Keisha and Sister Diane, good morning to you. God bless you this morning. And Sister Kim, I played our song, Sister Kim. Sister Kim Hotz. Yeah. He said we could do it too. Oh, I love that little number. Good morning to you, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluka, Sister Lisa, and Sister Yvonne, and Apostle Claudia Boatwright. She was with us earlier, Apostle Boatwright, but I'm sure she had to run out for work or something, but we thank God for the little time she was here. Good morning to you again, Brother Lewis. Woo, woo, holding that chat room down. Good morning to you, Brother Jermaine, and Brother Anthony, and Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hawks, Brother Mike in Orlando, and Brother George West Perry. Good morning to you, sir. God bless you. And Brother Lee Hamilton and Brother Justin Gilmore. God bless you this morning, brothers. Thank God for each and every one of you. And we know that God is able today, and we're going to hold on to his unchangeable hand. And we trust in him with all our hearts. And we're not leaning on our own understanding. We're acknowledging God in all our ways. He's directing our path. We're praying. Yeah, because that's all we can do in this hour, and let go and let God have his way. Yeah. We've been praying a long time for God to bless us. We just need to go on and let it go now so he can have his way in our lives. Hallelujah. Brother Lewis, say, hey, Brother Anthony. Hey, Lord. So we thank God this morning. Is there anybody else this morning have something they would like to say on this fine Friday? Yeah, Lord, we're waiting on our money to come. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for that cash today. Oh, yeah. My son-in-law and I, we always say, cash. He said, what you doing, Barbara? I said, you got to say it fast, miss. The faster you say it, the quicker it's going to come. Cash, 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 cash. Oh, that just tickled. That just tickled him real good. Yeah, that just tickles him really, really good. And so we just thank the Lord this morning for his many blessings and him being a miracle-working God. And he's working it all out for us. And some of us, we're waiting on the exciting news this month because we got some good things coming our way this month, September. Hey, glory to you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your many blessings and miracles flowing our way this month. I'm telling y'all, we got some things coming to us this month, not next month, but this month right here. Oh, yeah. And if you believe God for it, tell him to send it on. Lord, send it on to me. Bring it on for me, Lord. Yeah, bring my blessings on. Bring my miracles on, God. I want to see all that you're doing for me in the month of February. Yeah, he added some stuff and increasing some stuff. I can see this. Yeah, those that even get the EBT, God is adding. I can even see that. Yeah, I have money being added. Yeah, I see quite a few things. And so we just tell him thank you and wait patiently for him. We're in no rush. They that wait on the Lord is going to renew their strength. We're waiting on him. Hallelujah. And he is coming with the goods. Oh, we thank him. We thank him. We're not about just prosperity. Uh-uh. We're about walking up right before God and living right unto him daily. But because he is the kind of God that he is, and he's a great giver, he's always given us something we receive with joy and gladness. Hallelujah. We're receiving it from Almighty God. And what he gives, it won't make you cry. It won't make you wish that you didn't have it. Uh-uh. What he gives, it won't add sorrows to you. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank him right there. I thank him right there. Thank you, Jesus. So we're moving on in Jesus' name. And I tell you what, this morning, we only have 9 minutes left. I'm going to pray us out and do our last song of the morning. And we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And we're going to have us a blessed weekend and be looking for our money today, because we don't know how God is sending it. And if we know we're getting a paycheck or whatever, we're looking for a little increase. or to God to stretch it and multiply it, yeah, however he do it, as long as we get what it is we want and we need, because he going to supply the need, hallelujah, because that's what it is, a need. And so we thank him today for filling even our wants, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for all that has been said and done. Thank you for Sister Jared testifying and Brother Anthony. God, we give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the expectation for September. Thank you for the blessings and the miracles. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise this morning. Thank you for multiplying. Thank you for turning things around. Thank you for working it out for our good in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that your word would stick with us and it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, this weekend we ask that you would bless us like never before. Move in a mighty way by your spirit for your people. Father, we need you. Can't do nothing without you. And we're grateful unto you this morning. We appreciate you. And Father, we love you. Bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast, every family member, Father, every friend near and far. Bless this weekend, Lord. Move by your spirit again, we're asking you. We need you. We can't make it without you. And Father, we're thankful unto you. We're thankful unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Father, continue. All go on and meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask it all this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah for your blessings and miracles. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Can't thank you enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the September blessings and miracles, God. We thank you right now. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oof. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to you, God. We thank you, His Majesty. Oh, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let the words of our mouth, Father, and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in our sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. And Father, we thank you. We thank you. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves the cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. This weekend, starting September the 3rd, 2021, in Jesus' name. And so at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye again. Have a blessed weekend, and we're going to our last song of the morning. Hallelujah.